Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus, and tonight I'm proud to bring you Pride of Olympus, where we'll be speaking with Bob Bosler about the future of our scientific and science-fictive endeavors over the next year. Greetings and welcome, Bob. How are you?
Okay. It's been a busy week.
Yes.
But I'm always glad to be here and chatting with you.
The same here, and it's been busy here as well. It seems like all of a sudden the doors are opening to things that weren't happening for quite a while. So it's been really busy entering back into opportunities and doing new things, and so I'm pretty excited. How have things been going with you lately?
Like I said, busy. Looking forward on the fan end on Sunday. We've got, even before Sunday, tomorrow, although I have to sandwich it between two work assignments, we have another big kid toy show, which is being held in New Egypt at the New Egypt Flea Market, which normally isn't even open on a Saturday. So they're doing another one of their famous outdoor toy and collectible shows, which is always nice to attend. And that's going to go on from like noon until 7. And then on Sunday, we've got our Intergalactic Food Festival. I'm hoping that we get some folks from other, chapters in the region. And, that's always fun and calorie laden, because we have people that, bring in their own dishes, whether it's an entree or desserts or some, some kind. And of course it's meant to represent, a food item for, particularly Star Trek, but it could also be from Star Wars. One year we did get custard and fish sticks in representation of the Matt Smith doctor from Doctor Who. And we've always gotten a variety of different docs, from Klingon. In some years it's a food item like chicken sticks, and some items it's like gummy worms, so it's like a dessert. So I never know what we're going to get, and we haven't done it in at least 2 years. Due to the pandemic. And so I'm looking, normally we would do it in, we would have done it last month. Things kind of crept up on us, so we pushed it back. And it will serve as a celebration for not only spring, but the coming of Strange New Worlds, the new TV series, or streaming series, I should say, more correctly. And also the news that we learned this week that USS Challenger was chosen as Region 7's Chapter of the Year. So we'll celebrate all those.
That is fantastic.
Thank you. That was a nice surprise. And so we'll celebrate all those things. We'll talk about the coming May 5th of the release of Strange New Worlds that we've been anticipating. And, all that good stuff. Yeah. In fact, as might have been mentioned prior, Anson Mount popped into one of our own forum Zoom chats early on in the pandemic, surprised us completely, and, talked to us, didn't give a hint of what was to come, and even, went so far as to say, oh, I don't know about a series based on Pike and all that. I don't know. They've got things planned, so he probably knew darn well what was in the works, but couldn't say anything, and that's okay.
And we learned to expect these denials, like Andrew Garfield and Jean-Luc Picard as Professor X. We've heard those denials, and then they turn out to be in the project, so. I'm not surprised that you got that on your show as well.
Yeah, that was we understood. We were just thrilled to have him on. He stayed on for about a half hour that night, and he was checking out different fan-based Zoom podcast, telecast, whatever you want to call it. And he popped into ours, and we chatted with him about a number of different things. You know, I brought up his being on Black Bolt, you know, or being on the Inhumans, not one of the more successful Marvel TV series, but, you know, he did a remarkable job for a role that was, you know, where he had to be mute. And, Hell on Wheels, which is where, you know, I first saw him and loved that series. So, and everybody was just happy to see him. And then he got pulled away by his wife who had an errand for him. So, it seems like, he's just a regular guy. We're looking forward to the series. I believe it's going to be more episodic than any of the new Star Trek series, which is good. I think, I was on a page today with fellow Trekkers, and people are looking forward to, one-off episodes as opposed to getting into big, long arcs case for Discovery and not so much for the animated episodes, although Prodigy could be said to be one big, long arc. But, we're not even talking shows that are as long as what you and I remember from a full season. The full season used to mean 22, 24, even 26 episodes. Now, streaming, you while it's very high quality, because of that, we only get between 5 to 10 episodes, 15 if you're lucky. So, so it's like one big long mini series or movie, So I think this format will fit well for Strange New Worlds, and I'm looking forward to it, to seeing sort of an old style track, with some of the storylines and things like that.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm looking forward to it because, again, it's old style track or pre-old style track. But with a new sensibility and with better graphics. So I'm really looking forward to it. I like what they did with Pike on Discovery and with Spock and on Short Takes, or Short Treks, rather. See how they handle, too, with the Talosians, I think they were called.
I really appreciated that, too. I think that we could see a lot of familiar Easter eggs in this and also go in a whole different in new directions and fill in the blanks of what we might have seen if Jeffrey Hunter and company, if Gene's original vision and original cast had continued on, if the network didn't interfere and say no to Majel, or if Jeffrey Hunter's wife wasn't such a problem, mess things up for her husband to continue on. What would have happened? What would we have seen? While we would never see that vision because, Gene's not with us and it's decades later, but this does give us a taste of those characters and more. Now we're going to see the career of young Uhura and younger Nurse Chapel, Vanga, who is going to be the chief medical officer. I was very surprised by that choice. Nothing against Dr. Mavanga. He's somebody I would love to have learned more about, but I was looking forward to seeing maybe Dr. Piper or even Dr. Boyce, who it would have maybe not have retired after the events of The Cage, or Dr. Piper before, because he was before McCoy. So that could have been a possibility, but it seemed like they wanted somebody younger and maybe they wanted to explore Dr. Mbenga, who would have then taken a demotion as not being the chief, but maybe he left to study more about Vulcan. Maybe we'll see that. Maybe we'll see him leave the Enterprise by the end of this series to become more versed in Vulcan physiology, and then him returning you know, for the events that we saw him in the original series.
That's exciting. And also they've been hinting from what the little I know of a young Kirk appearing.
I don't know what that is about, but, you know, we will see. We will see what that is about, why they brought him in. Will it be a young Kirk? Is it him doing a flashback to the events that we're going to see? Or, you know, because it looks like he's got a different uniform, more in line with, you know, with what we saw in Classic Trek. Or, you know, because clearly they've redesigned the uniforms once again. For early track, or with a V-cut, you know, uniform style, different from what we saw Pike wear and Number One wear in Discovery. So, you know, it should prove to be interesting. You know, I'm again looking forward to seeing what is going to happen and what we may see, what will be new, what will be familiar, what will, you know, all the updated special effects. You know, I hope it doesn't get too overdone, you know, as far as that's concerned, because I think really the stories or the strength of that series in particular, if not all of them, you know.
I've been pondering taking my project along with a different direction. It doesn't seem that very many people are resonating with the mythical mission that I announced initially. So I decided that I'm going to do that on my own anyway. So I'm just going to keep doing it. If more people join in, that will be fine. If not, that'll be fine as well. And I'm going back to another original Star Trek I guess exploration. Roddenberry, when he was developing Star Trek, he went to a lot of the cosmic spirituality groups, and this is very well documented and recorded. And in some of his later interviews, Roddenberry admitted to it and talked about how some of the characters, especially Spock, were living beings inside his mind that communicated with him. I've interviewed people who remember Roddenberry looking into like the whole outer space religion type of thing, and the Federation as a concept arose from some of the confederations that exist in these spiritualities and so forth. So I don't think that's been sufficiently explored. So I'm going to – my next mission, and I'm going to recruit people, is if anybody wants to explore that part of Star Trek, because it's very interesting. And not only Roddenberry, but Shatner in some of his early books, in some of the early books, he talked about encounters he had with UFO beings. We know that Shatner like made a movie, Mysteries of the Gods. Now he had a new series called The Unexplained for a while. Leonard Nimoy Search of Shatner appeared in Ancient Aliens in the last season, and even Zachary Quinto did the new In Search of. Carrying on the boys tradition.
Yeah, I would love to see those. I would love to see the new take on, you know, or if the new In Search of, you know, went back to relook at some of the original ones, and if there was new information that was provided. I loved that series, and it was that got Leonard Nimoy to come to my area. Community college in Middlesex when I lived in Edison. And what got him there was really he was touring colleges in search of. So that was generally, of course, you know, when the question and answer period came, you know, it was all about Star Trek. But that's what brought him to the college and what brought me to attend that, and how I met a person who would end up contacting me 2 years later to join Starfleet.
Oh,
and,
wow.
Yeah. And the rest is history, you know. So, you know, it's sort of funny how things come full circle at
full
times.
Circle.
You know?
So,
yeah.
And Frakes, too. Frakes did a DVD on the alien autopsy, you know. So Star Trek folk, and sadly, Nichelle Nichols had a family member who was part of the Heaven's Gate cult, you know, where they committed suicide.
Hmm.
You know, because they believed that there was a spaceship in the tail of the Hale-Bopp comet. So in addition to touching the scientific, as Star Trek stars often did with NASA and with various planetary societies and so forth, they also touched the speculative, the fantastical, and the phenomenal through their exploration of these mysteries, ancient and modern. So because I live there much of the time anyway, and a lot of my other programming is focused on these things, I decided I would take my Star Trek adventure in that direction also and see who might be interested in becoming part of that.
That sounds cool. That sounds very cool. I know this month has been just so busy with so many different things happening. I know that, and I was thinking of you this month too, because I noticed that, not that I watch Sci-Fi Channel all that much, but I did go through the channels, and I've been noticing that they've been showing a lot of movies that feature gods. They have the remake of Clash of the Titans, and I think they ran Wrath of the Titans as well, and they also showed Gods of Egypt, and I had picked up the original Clash of the Titans a while back and decided, well, in honor of see, you know, because I caught the remake again too while Sci-Fi Channel was airing it, I decided to run the original, and really I really enjoyed the original. I think it still stands up, and I think I liked it more than the remake.
Me too.
It wasn't so gritty, but it really told the story that needed to be told, and I really enjoyed it the other day Yeah, because I think around Easter time they're always showing, you know, either biblical or mythological films on various stations. So there was a number of them out there, you know, definitely on Sci-Fi Channel. But
yeah, the Sci-Fi Channel doesn't only show sci-fi, and the History Channel doesn't show history. They're all kind of blended in the way they do things. Channel. So I'm not surprised to find mythology on the Science Fiction Channel.
Yeah, and they've been showing, you know, loads of reshowings of the Harry Potter movies, and, you know, if it's not Harry Potter, it's The Fifth Element. If it's not The Fifth Element, it's all the underworld movies. But it's, you know, the vampires versus the lichens with.
Oh yes, I remember those.
Yeah, that seems to be playing a lot. I happened to catch what I thought might have been more of a mythological movie. Of course, I picked this up for all of a dollar. Well, now $1.25 with Dollar Tree.
Yeah.
One of those famous bins that I just can't seem, that's my guilty pleasure. Even though I've got, you know, two streaming services, and I haven't even caught up on all of that, but I have to go and pick up DVDs at a dollar.
I did that today also. I found three DVDs.
This one was The Curse of the Mermaid.
I
had once picked up a different mermaid movie, But that one I knew was different because I, you know, one, I recognized the cover was different and it took place at a lake. This one, I thought, well, you know, I thought this might be a more of a period piece and it might deal more with the mythological mermaid. So that's what I was hoping for. That's not what I got.
No.
There's not much on Thursday night. So I decided, you know, last night was going to be my own private movie night. Emily was upstairs, you know, watching Classic Track or on a chat thing that she does. So I watched that and, you know, it had a budget of about, you know, probably $200. It looked like, you know, I don't know if it was, you know, if it was done in Canada or where it was done. It wasn't a totally bad movie, but this was not a mermaid with fins. It was more like three witches that were cursed, and they emerge from the water. So I don't think technically they counted as mermaids, but
they weren't,
you know,
mermaids. No,
they weren't.
Athena and I watched that too. We got it from the bargain bin as well. And I posted a 2-sentence review of it in Mythic Atlantis, you know, that it was a mermaid movie with no mermaids in it.
Yeah.
It didn't explain, like, where were they under the water? Where were they buying those white dresses from? You know, is there like a,
yeah. And even when she crawled up on the beach, she failed to actually be wet. You know, her hair wasn't wet and her outfit was it. I mean, the movie should have been called The Sirens, maybe.
Well, it was originally,
you know,
called The Water Witches. They changed it to Mermaid, the Curse of the Mermaid.
Oh.
We looked it up. It's like, and it was originally called the Water Witches or something like that.
Oh, well, see, that would have made more sense.
Yeah, that would have made a lot more sense. Because the
know,
cover has
they stuck like plastic on their faces when they were. Before they had to feed. I mean, it had some interesting concepts. Previously, I had picked up another fantasy movie called Quest of the Unicorn.
Oh, I didn't see that. Yeah.
That one I saw and I said, oh, I got to pick this up because it looks like an interesting fantasy. You know, at least it's a period one. You know, usually if it's period, that means that basically they can shoot it outside and call it anything. And just put right. together a halfway decent wardrobe, you know, so it looks like it was shot at a Ren Faire, you know. So I thought, well, you know, that could be good. But Unicorn was not bad, but it was certainly not good either. And it didn't end on a happy note after all that. Had
was
its
there
year
a unicorn
of,
in it?
Did it have what?
Did it have a unicorn.
Yes, okay. At least it had a unicorn. And we got to see the unicorn a few times, but the unicorn didn't actually do a whole lot. They were trying to hunt down, and thankfully they didn't, you know, with no spoilers, but, you know, it didn't kill the unicorn. You know, but mostly it was a nice excuse for some cleavage shots. That was there. You know, but you know, and there was some battles, you know, fight scenes, but I thought that had a good, it had some good concepts in it, and I think it could have been, you know, tweaked a little bit better, the scripts tweaked a little better, would have made it a better movie, but, you know, another one I picked up that I haven't watched yet, probably will try to catch it tomorrow night, is The Scarecrow's Revenge. I hope it's not as bad as the last Scarecrow movie I picked up from Dollar Tree, which was a foreign film, and started out again good and intriguing and a mystery and all that, and then just nowhere and just, you know,
I think
almost everybody die, including the lead character. So, and that one was called The Scarecrow's Bride. So if you come across that, please don't even waste the $1.25 on it. It's not, you know, it's worth maybe 25 cents, but not $1.25. So
today I picked up Time Loop from the Dollar
Time
store.
Loop.
$1.25. It says, this movie will blow your mind. And then What will have changed when they return is the question they ask at the bottom. And then I picked up Encounter that has Chris Hemsworth's brother, I guess, Luke Hemsworth in it. And then Broken Sword.
I think I have Encounter. I think that's the one that I haven't yet watched. So, yeah, I think I've – is that the one where it was a UFO?
Yes.
Yep. Okay.
And then I have a sword – it looks like a Sword and Sorcery movie, Broken Swords, The Last in Line.
Oh, I've seen that there, but I did not pick that one up. I'm glad I'm not the only one that picks these things up. I always feel good talking to you, and I'm so happy that I am not the only person that actually, you know, wants to try these out. So, and some can, are surprisingly good. Some are surprisingly not so good, but it's a buck now, $1.25. It's worth, you know, taking the risk, you know.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's worth taking the risk, and then you know they're easy to donate or give to a friend or
It's some are so bad they're funny, so you know.
Yes. Yeah, we kept some of them because it was just so bad that they were funny, so we kept them for a while longer. And sometimes you'll find a treasure. You'll find something that's so good. I remember on VHS once years ago, I found a movie called Psychos in Love, and this movie was so funny. And I never seen it. I don't think it ever came out on DVD. A lot of my VHS has got destroyed over the years or lost, so I don't have a copy of it anymore. But that was such a funny movie. It was very low budget. But they did a great job with it, and it just disappeared. And some of the Sword and Sandal movies you can't find. They never came out on DVD. They never
came out on DVD. I have one. Oh, what is it called? Dungeon Master, as opposed to Beastmaster, that had Barbie Benton in it, so you had me as soon as I saw that Barbie Benton was in it. I was like, I don't care how bad this movie is. It's got Barbie Benton in it. You know, whatever, you know, that's worth it all by itself. And she was the princess that was captured.
Yes.
She doesn't have too many lines in it, but she's looking great in that movie.
That was Deathstalker, the first Deathstalker.
Oh, Deathstalker. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I knew it was Death something or other,
Yeah, it was Deathstalker. There was Deathstalker 2. There was a comedy that was really, really funny. Deathstalker 3 had a new – well, all of them had this different Deathstalkers, except the Deathstalker in 1 and 4 was the same Deathstalker. He was in The Wrath of Khan, one of Khan's crew, that was Deathstalker, and the one with Barbie Benton.
Oh, not Judson Scott, you know, or
– Oh, let me – I'll look it up on the computer while –
It looked like, you know, I thought at first that it was like Judson Scott when I saw the cover of it, you know, because I wouldn't be surprised if he hadn't done that, some of those. I know he was in that show called The Phoenix, which I thought was before Wrath of Khan. I think that was, well, maybe it was after now. I don't remember.
Rick Hill.
Oh, okay.
And I remember him from Wrath of Khan, that he was in Wrath of Khan.
Huh.
Yeah, that was a fun movie. I enjoyed that movie. I enjoyed Deathstalker 2 more than I enjoyed the second one. And it looked nothing like, the Deathstalker was totally different. And then Deathstalker 3 was kind of like, okay, it has moments. Deathstalker 4 was like a continuation of Deathstalker 1, but not as well written. So... I used to love those movies, no matter how bad they were.
I did, too. I did, too. There was just a certain special charm about those. And, you know, and you usually have your villain who was, you know, some older actor who had some either kind of deformity or some kind of thing that was their shtick, you know, the evil, you know, guy So it seemed almost like a formula, but it was a fun formula.
There was one movie, I don't know if it was Deathstalker or another movie, where the guy had a spider tattoo on his head. I think it was one with Miles O'Keefe. Ator, I think, was the series. And the spider tattoo was in a different place. Like, I guess whenever they did makeup, they didn't put the spider tattoo in the same place. So this tattoo kept moving around his head throughout the movie.
Oh, that's funny. That is funny. Well, I noticed today, kind of shifting topics a little bit, we had, you know, two things that I was a little sad about. Certainly more the first being the passing of Neil Adams. Only 80, and although 80, we used to look at it as an old age, but as we get older, 80 doesn't, you know, we start saying, well, that's not so bad anymore, because we're heading in that direction. So, but I was very sorry to learn of his passing today. He was just a remarkable artist and apparently did a lot of activism in trying to bring more equity to creative people having the rights to their own material. You know, he tried to organize a union for comic book staff. That wasn't successful, but at least he tried. And he also, I didn't know this until today, that he was instrumental in getting artists their own ownership of their own work back. So, like, he was able to get Jack Kirby some of his own drawings back. Now, granted, apparently Marvel was in the process of they used to throw a lot of stuff out, so there wasn't a lot for him to get back. But you know, and Neil Adams just did so much like cover artwork for things like Power Records, things where, you know, like he back in the 70s he drew a lot of them. And I remember the famous Green Arrow, Green Lantern series that went on to win awards. And certainly his, you know, he and Denny O'Neill, you know, he did the artwork and Denny O'Neill did the writing. You know, I remember getting some of those early issues. And one of the reasons I picked up the Flash wasn't so much for the Flash, was to get the Green Lantern, Green Arrow backup series that once they discontinued the actual comic book, they continued the series, or maybe they had material left. Maybe the book was canceled and they still had more material and they incorporated it into the backup series. But, you know, it was just so much better than the actual Flash series. I was like, it should be the other way. You know, in my way of thinking at that point, at that young age, I was like, this should be in the front. The Flash stuff should be in the back, you know, it's just, you know, but, he was quite the,
That was a great series, I remember too, and I wasn't very heavy into DC at the time. I didn't collect Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman was Greek mythology, so that was of interest to me. But mostly DC I've stayed away from, except for brief periods of time, like when Byrne took over Superman. I followed that for a few years. Mm-hmm. When he took over Wonder Woman, I followed that for a few years. Didn't particularly care for how he handled Hercules as the champion. Lost interest afterwards. But Marvel is doing some amazing things. Have you been watching Moon Knight?
No, I don't yet have that. I don't have Disney Plus, but I am so looking forward. I've seen some tidbits and trailers of Moon Knight online, and he looks just great. The slight modifications, I don't even know if you could call it modifications, because over time Moon Knight's costume has changed a little bit, and I think they've done a great job with that. And Moon Knight was always a a favorite character of mine. I didn't even know about Moon Knight. Years ago, I collected the Hulk magazine, and
I remember that.
Which started off in black and white, and then they went to color. And I think when they went to color, they had Moon Knight backup series, and I was like, "Who's this Moon Knight guy?" You know, and then he was so interesting because he was not your traditional, you know, superhero at all. He had three different aliases, and his I liked his costume, and I liked his background, and I just, you know. Then later on, he, you know, when he had his own color comic, I would pick that up at least occasionally. So I'm really glad they even did Moon Knight as a series. So it kills me that I don't have the streaming service yet.
We watched it up until now. We have that. That was one of the ones that we have, and. The first couple of episodes, it took a while to get into the story, but once you got into it, it became like really, really good. And of course, I love mythology, so they have a lot of Egyptian mythology, and
yeah.
We know Zeus is coming to Thor, Love and Thunder, so they're introducing the Olympian pantheon there. So they got the Egyptian, they got the Norse, we're getting the Greek, so it should really be interesting with the introduction of gods into the MCU.
Yeah.
They also hinted that some of the Eternals were actually mythical gods or inspired the stories of the mythical gods. So that whole dimension of mythology is what I'm looking for.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the next Thor installment. It promises to have a lot. I'm, of course, excited about Doctor Strange coming next week. As Challenger, I think we're going to wait another week. I think we may even be waiting 2 weeks because I think Mother's Day falls somewhere
right
in, and that would affect some of our crew. So I think we're waiting for that. But, yeah, I know some people have bought their ticket to go see it already. It looks phenomenal, and it will be nice to see, you know, the Scarlet Witch you know, in a very strong role in that, and probably some other surprises. So,
well, we know that Professor X is going to be in the movie, Patrick Stewart. We heard his voice, and we know the Illuminati are going to be in the movie because they mentioned that in the latest trailer. And there's rumors that Reed Richards is going to be in the Illuminati, so it should be very interesting.
Yeah, I can't wait to see what they have up their sleeve, you know, for the future.
So it's
tying
yet?
In well. Oh yes, we saw the Batman as you know, several of us group viewing. And we really loved it. We thought it was a nice mystery. It was interesting to see finally, in of all the Batman interpretations, seeing the Batman really work together with the Commissioner for a change. And you know, it reminded me of a Denny O'Neill, Neil Adams type of, you know, that period, that early 70s period when they were trying to undo, you know, the image of Batman being the campy, you know,
right,
Batman, and when I forgot this, that Neil Adams had created Ra's al Ghul, you know, like characters like that, and to reestablish him as such a, you know, dark character and you know, not funny and all that stuff. So that's what this reminded me of, because of those early issues of, no, the early 70s with Detective Comics, you know, you would see him, you know, talking more to Commissioner Gordon and you know, conferring more on what was happening and stuff like that. So it was a pretty lengthy movie, but I'll tell you, it kept moving, you know,
right.
Even we, you know, afterwards when we did our, you know, after the movie, we usually go someplace to eat, And then we did our debriefing of, well, what did you like? What did you think? You know, and everybody was saying, you know, it was the movie did for us did still move fast, even though it was 2.5 hours long.
Yeah, we haven't seen it yet. We're going to wait for it to, you know, come out on DVD, I guess.
Okay. I know it's on, I don't know if you have HBO Max, but it is on that already, you know. Because I have one member who wanted to see it, but has difficulties due to an injury that he didn't feel he could sit through a 2.5 hour movie in a theater.
Right.
So he was waiting for it to finally, you know, to be able to have it in the comfort of his home. But I noticed it's there. I noticed Scream is there, which is a horror thing that I never got around to seeing, the new Scream. So I'll probably have to catch that. I did catch the spy, you know, the Kingsman. I did catch that, but I have so much to catch up on. That was like the prequel, and I thought that was interesting. I enjoyed that. And the actress who was in The Kingsman was also the actress who played Lo in the remake of Clash of the Titans and The Wrath of – well, actually, she didn't appear in The Wrath of Titans because at that point they have established that she had – that the character had died. So, but I was like, I know I've seen her before. She's been in stuff. And then, you know, and then I saw a Sci-Fi Channel playing Clash of the Titans. Like, well, that's where I saw her among other roles. So, you know, but it was entertaining. And again, it was a nice period piece. It was set, you know, just before World War One and then during World War One, kind of, you know, showed the origin of that whole agency. So,
getting better and television's getting better. It's we're going through a renaissance in that regard.
Yeah. I saw today just a little while before I called in. I saw that not too surprised by this, but a little disappointed nonetheless that one was canceled by the CW.
What season was she up to?
It was 3 seasons. I was surprised that it. Honestly, I did enjoy the show the first season, but when Ruby Rose did not come back, instead of just recasting her, they went another direction with another character, and while I liked the new character, the show just wasn't the same. And I think what show was not so much Batwoman, but was the villain, was the actress who ironically played the young Black Canary in the Birds of Prey series of the 90s, was playing Alice. And she was incredibly compelling. She was like a slightly darker, less wacky Harlequin figure, but entertaining nonetheless. And I found myself, because they were doing sort of, especially the second season and into the third season, they were doing more with her on like a side story line. And I found myself more interested in what was happening with her than with the main characters. My only regret, and they did tend to wrap things up this season, but I think they also left it open for a cliffhanger, and I hate it when a show is canceled and they don't resolve the cliffhanger. I was a little disappointed to hear that at least they didn't just, usually with these superhero shows, if it's going off, they wrap it up like Supergirl, and Arrow and Black Lightning. But this one didn't get the chance to conclude, you know, on its own. So that's too bad. I you know, a lot of people I saw had an opposite feeling. They were like, yeah, it should go, you know, and all that. But I don't know. I kept watching. I guess once I start watching something, I try to be loyal to it. And, unless it really, really gets bad. Unless it's, you know, there's a few shows over the years I've defected from, but before they concluded on their own. But mostly I stay to the bitter end.
I like Supergirl. I was sad to hear that came to an end.
I had mixed feelings on Supergirl by the time it did. You know, the actress decided she had had a baby, and she decided to, you know, that the time had come. I think it was how many seasons? Is it four or five?
No, more than that. Hold on.
Was it six.
The six was the final season.
Six, okay. Okay, six. I thought they did, you know, I thought they did some things that I wish they hadn't with that show. It kind of got a little muddled, and I thought it lost a little bit of its focus. I also think that it had too many cast members.
Okay.
Like the CW, when they do have not to say I don't like the cast, but I think sometimes it just gets a little convoluted, and I think Arrow had to have an entire entourage. Flash has Team Flash, you know, practically. You know, and the same thing was going on with Batwoman, and definitely with Supergirl. And I just, you know, I don't, plus that becomes expensive. So I wish they had just trimmed it down a little bit, put more of a focus. Plus, you know, Supergirl is, I guess, could come back for guest appearances. They didn't do what I thought they might do with her, which I thought they might send her into the future, you know, similar to the Justice League Unlimited cartoon, you know, series. Because then reunite her with her love, you know, Mon-El, but that's not what they did. And they just sort of had her reveal her identity. And I just thought, you know, really, that's the way you're going to do it. You know, that she's working and she's also Supergirl and all this. It's almost as if having a secret identity is a bad thing.
People in your life, you know, essentially who aren't.
I didn't like that whole thing. And, you know, that was part of the that story, you know, if it was even a conscious story arc. It was sort of like she was always whining about, you know, having to keep her identity secret from her good friends and all this. It's like, get over yourself. You know, like every other superhero does this too. So that's part of the game. You don't like it, you know, don't put on the cape, you know.
I heard that they're bringing the Arrow back. That there's like they were going to make one on they were going to make a spin-off series with the female characters. I had heard.
Yeah.
And that was canceled, and then they were going to bring back Oliver North. You know, like the James Arnell. So I don't know if that's still happening.
Wow.
I don't know.
I know that, yeah, they were going to do Green Arrow and the Black Canaries, plural.
Yes.
With Oliver Queen's daughter, who had grown up, because of course there was a whole time differential, and then she came to the past or something. And then I knew that didn't happen, and yet they brought her into what counted as this year's crossover thing, which really wasn't a big deal this year, although they did bring in Black Lightning, which was nice, and they brought her back, but it didn't seem like as big of a crossover. But I was hoping they would do something with them. I've been watching Naomi, but I'm starting to kind of lose interest. Unless they bring it into the other universe, because their universe, all the superheroes are
looked at as comic book characters, but they're actually real in another Earth. And
right. Yeah, that
and
heard.
Now they're setting up this big finale. Apparently there's one more episode and then there's going to be a 2-hour season finale. And I'm just not sure if this show, you know, I've stuck with it just to see where it was going and what it was finally going to do. And I'm just not sure that it's grabbing, you know, people. I wouldn't be surprised if that didn't get canceled too.
Have you seen The Boys? That was interesting.
No, that's also on a streaming service I don't have yet. Although I did pick up last year, and I've yet to, and I've only picked it up this year. Free Comic Book Day had a copy of The Boys based on the TV series.
Okay.
So I've yet to actually read it, but just paging through it. It looks very adult content, and I was surprised that that was chosen as something that they would put out as a free comic book, knowing, you know, that parents aren't always there with younger kids, and they'll just pick up other stuff. And I'm not in any way a prude on it, but I was thinking, opening it up, saying, oh boy, I'm waiting for some parent to go and go to the comic book store and say, yeah, you know? Even though they had no choice in what was chosen to be the free comic book. Yeah, and let's face it, even to this day, if we go to Free Comic Book Day, you know, we're going to pick up every comic book there, unless it's really something we don't find interesting. And sometimes some of these, they have leftovers of some, depending on the comic book store's policy. You know, sometimes they were trying to limit it to, you know, you take five of the, you know, or something like that, as opposed to all of them. So they have some of these left, and then they end up giving them out as free anyway.
You can't even choose in some comic book stores. Like last Free Comic Book Day I went to, they put five or six random ones in a bag for you. You had no choice.
Oh, wow.
That really sucked because I didn't like any
of
them.
Yeah, that's not cool.
Yeah, I wouldn't have chosen
these.
Yeah, so they were useless to me. You know, I didn't even read them because I had no interest in the characters or in the situations as I skimmed through them. So I have to change comic book shops on Comic Book Day.
Yeah, I think I may have picked up The Boys not even from the comic book shop. I think I went to one of the comic book collectible shows, and when I bought my ticket in, they had all these free comics, or what they said was free comics. And of course they themselves got some of those free. So they put them out there to say, hey, thank you. Here's some free comics.
Right.
So it ended up being like, all right, I'll pull that one. So that's something I've got to read. I did visit my comic book store the other day. I picked up some Warlord. I don't know if that was something that you picked up in the past from, you know, the early ones, Mike Grell.
Which one is that?
But I didn't. I ran out of money. The Hercules Unbound DC, which I know you
I
collect.
Have those. Yeah. I have those.
Yeah, I figured you had them all, and I thought I'd. But I don't think they're going anywhere. So then my next trip over there, I'll pick those up because they have a thing, dollar books, but you get for $5, you get six. So
that's a good deal.
Yeah, and I go in and I always buy that, and I don't buy the really new stuff, with the exception that I did buy for, and now comics are up to like $5 a copy. I did buy the new Rocketeer that came out, the first issue of the new Rocketeer.
At this point, I'm just
the artwork was
it? At this point, I'm just reading.
Yeah, I liked it. I think it was cute. I liked the original movie, and I was a fan of Dave Stevens. But you know, they really didn't make a lot of Rocketeer comics. So I just, you know, I picked it up because I had heard that from Cop News, the little publication that they put in your bag when you leave, that was going to be coming out. So I just thought, I'll blow another $5 and get that, you know. So for the amount I got, $6, you know, or rather six comics, I also spent for one. So
we're running out of time again. Time passes very quickly when we talk. How can people get in contact with you, and what changes are you making to Spaced Out over the next, over 2022?
Oh, well, coming up for the next Spaced Out, I'll have Laura Victor, who, even as we speak, they're doing their Zoom forum, little gathering of members called, but she'll be with me talking Star Wars. So we'll be doing, you know, in honor of May 4th, you know, May the 4th be with us. We'll be talking Star Wars next. And,
awesome.
And maybe even I'll coax Wayne to come too. He wanted to talk. So I'll either have Laura or Wayne or both, if that's possible.
That'd be awesome.
Which I think. So we'll be doing that. And I also today, by coincidence, believe I have another guest. Stacy Wright, who is from The Sovereign, who I'm stealing all their members for shows, because I had Beryl, of course, talking Westerns, and I last month had Sierra talking Twilight Zone. But I didn't know this until today, that Stacy is a big vampire fan. And, on this thread we were on, we were talking about different vampire, different lore of vampires. So I said, oh, you got to be on my show. Well, we got to talk vampires. So that will be sometime in the future as well.
That'll be a Mythic Monsters crossover. So, because we're doing a series of monsters. So we've done a vampire panel, and we've had a vampire episode. So I said that we're going to do a second panel, a second episode, so we can make that the crossover episode.
Yeah.
So we haven't done one of those in a while. Bob, thank you so very much. I'm very grateful that the circumstances allowed us to reconnect at Mythic Atlantis and now to be doing podcasts together. And I really like what you're doing with Spaced Out. I'm very honored that I could help bring back your show from yesteryear and give it new life and new direction. And I'm looking forward to adventuring with you throughout this year.
Always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
And thanks to everybody who tuned in, whether you clicked on a link and found yourself here, whether you called in and are patiently waiting in our queue, or whether you're going to check us out later on demand. Until next time, this is us wishing you joyous journeys and amazing adventures. And we will close with what little time we have left with If You Can Dream by Virginia Ackley. Because dreaming is what it's all about. Thanks again, Bob.
Absolutely. Thank you. Take care.
Bye-bye.
If you can dream, if you can fly, then your heart can touch the sky. But only if you can dream. If love is true and love is real, pain and sorrow soon will heal, but only